Welcome to the Word of Life Tabernacle podcast, where we know one word from God can change your life today. From wherever you are listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Those of you that hold your Bibles, have your Bibles, I want you to open with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And I'm going to start this series this morning teaching from the subject. The title of the series will be Growing into Sonship. Growing into sonship. And when we mean sonship, don't get caught up in the gender. It's about the relationship. You know, we are called sons of God, but that includes daughters too. So that does not exclude women. It's about relationship to God. Of course, if you're not a son, you're a daughter. But we're not going to say going into sonship and daughtership. We refer to as sons of God. Meaning all the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But that's a growing process. So I'm going to start talking about maturity in the body of Christ and using as an underlying subject, manifesting the sons of God. Manifesting the sons of God. To manifest the Son of God, to manifest anything means to be brought into public view. It means to bring forward and be seen. God, there's got to be a maturing process in the church, in the sons and daughters of God, in order for Jesus to return and for us to take our place as that glorious church without spot or wrinkle before he returns. And so God wanted to be manifest. It's one thing to talk about what God is going to do and it's coming and the glory is coming, but we want to see manifestation. And so from now until the return of Jesus, he wants to see the maturity in the body of Christ. It must not be just something we talk about, but it must be actions. And so this is a very timely subject as I've received it in my spirit from the Lord. And so I'm going to lay the foundation and we'll go as far as the Spirit of God says this morning about growing into sonship. From Romans chapter 8, we're going to read verses 14 through 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 19 from the King James says this. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons and daughters of God. That's the first hint to growth, that sons are led by their spirit and not by their flesh. There's a lot of carnally minded Christians and people that are still led by the impulse of the flesh, and they get offended and they get mad and they get upset and whatever their flesh say. Well, that's one first sign of growing into sonship, is when you quit being led by your flesh or by your human impulse, by strife and anger and unforgiveness, and say, you know what? I'm going to allow the Spirit of God to lead me. For many of the spirit that are led by the Spirit of God, notice they are the sons of God. That's a sign of maturity. For you've not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Praise God. We was grafted in. Not only is God's chosen people Israel, but the gospel was for the Gentiles, those without God. And we've been adopted with not just the same benefits, but even greater benefits. Under Hebrew law, an adopted son or daughter had the same benefits and the blessing on him as the firstborn did. And so he says that when we were born again, we didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. God didn't put another spirit of fear down in us, but we received the spirit that cries of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, a daddy, father. We have a father now. We have a heavenly father. So there's no excuse about if you didn't know your earthly father or you had bad relationship with your earthly father. And I understand that could have caused some traumatic things in your life. But now you have a heavenly father and he's received you into his arms. And the Bible says here, for the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, bears witness with your own reborn spirit that we are what? The children of God. That's another sign. We want to go from children of God to men and women of God. Notice the reason that the children of Israel were called the children of Israel was because they never matured. They murmured and complained in the wilderness. There's a maturing process, a growth in the sonship. We should remain babes all of our lives. We come into the kingdom as a baby, but he said here, we are children of God, and if children of God, the Bible says, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. Of course, that suffering is not put being sick and suffering for Jesus and going without. If you really want to know what those sufferings are, it's really putting your flesh under. That's what he's really talking about. As many are the are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. And your flesh many times want to retaliate. Your flesh don't want to walk in love. Your flesh don't want to be obedient. And that's the suffering, putting your flesh under and listening to your spirit. Born again, that's a sign of maturity. If you read Romans chapter 8, later on, read the whole thing. You that at home, read it. You'll find out it starts off, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. That's verse 1. So what he's saying is, real maturity is when you begin to be led by your spirit and not by your feelings, your emotion. They offended me. They hurt my feelings. Those are babes. It's time to grow up. God cannot trust small children with power and anointing nor their inheritance. Just like you wouldn't give your 7-year-old or 12-year-old, if they was in the real, you wouldn't give them the inheritance. Why? They'll go wasted on something foolish. And God is waiting, and he's expecting maturity in the body of Christ. And here he says, that's part of the suffering, putting your flesh under. Not going without, not being sick, not being broke. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law. And he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, whatever you have to do, whatever you're going through in this present time, is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. This glory is talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. When we begin to look like Jesus, do the works of Jesus. That's the glory of God, his goodness. He said, it's already in you. We have the potential. We have his nature, but we must grow into sonship. And he said, whatever you have to go through, whatever you have to put up with, whatever inconvenience, in this pandemic, whatever's going on in your life is not even worthy to be compared to the glory when we grow into the likeness of Jesus. When we grow into this glorious church without spot or wrinkle, he said the glory that shall be revealed in us. But that glory, that glory is growing into this sonship. The Bible talks about it in Romans, I think it's might be the same chapter, Romans 8. I think it's, you go back, it talks about, for him who God did know, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of God's dear son. God wants us to grow up and become just like Jesus. Hallelujah. And he said, whatever you have to do, whatever price you have to pay, on your job, in your home, in your marriage, it's not even worthy to be compared to the glory. He's talking about developing this sonship. Let's keep going. For he says here, for the earnest expectation of the creation. Now I want you to get this. Waiting is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hold that there. The earnest expectation of all creation is waiting for the manifestation, the revealing, the growth, the maturity of the sons of God. Why? It's through the sons of God that we are going to bring deliverance to this planet. When Adam sinned, sin affected the whole planet. Everything came under curse. That's what drugs and alcohol, and we see people bound by this and hatred, and folks that's not born again, and folks that's bound by all fear, and in this depression, there are folks without jobs, there are folks that's homeless. I said depression, but yeah, it's a depressing time, but I meant pandemic, because we're not depressed. I'm talking about folks that are going through depression. You know, there are folks that without jobs and hungry, they don't know how they're going to make it. One thing I'm always pride myself about, regardless of the 45 years in which God has blessed me, I've always made my mind relate to the real world. It's so easy to get caught up in the blessing and a good life. And thank God, God has blessed me and family a good life. But I came off the streets, and I remember being bound by drugs and alcohol and pills, how you be crying out for deliverance, how I was waiting on someone to help me. You know, there's still people out there, the wino, the drunkard, the alcoholic, people in this pandemic, Some of them unemployed. Some of them trying to get food on the table. There are real folks still hurting. And you know what? That way they don't see. Sin affected everything. It caused shortages. It caused there are women that are bound. I'm talking about women on the streets. That's just trying to make it. If they have to sell their body, whatever. All of them are really crying out for deliverance. That's why people do drugs. That's why people do alcohol. That's why people turn to suicide. They are saying, can anyone help me? What they're waiting on is for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. We, the churches, are supposed to bring deliverance to the world. We're supposed to be the answer to the world. But when the church is divided and still immature, and you've seen the divisions, and we got our own ideology, and I believe this, and I believe that, and you with this group, we don't believe that. And so you'll see the division that's in the church. I don't have to tell you. The enemy is coming, and if he can't stop you from getting saved, his next thing is stop them from maturing. Don't let them grow up. And so everyone is waiting. Sometimes we forget about the Great Commission. Jesus came, there was lepers. If Jesus would came today and see this pandemic, first thing he would do, he wouldn't worry about the stop line. He wouldn't worry about, he would begin to heal the sick. He'll begin to feed the hungry, folks that have lost their jobs, folks that are unemployed. That's what the world was waiting on before the Son of God came. We have the same call. And the Bible says he fed the hungry. Those that were blind, he opened their eyes. They was waiting on Messiah. They was waiting on the anointed one. There was lepers that cried out. There was people with withered hands, woman with the issue of blood. They were waiting on and the same call. And that the church has become distracted by the enemy. And my job is to teach us how to grow up into that sonship. How to grow up and mature, that we begin to do the works of Jesus, and people can not only hear that we're Son of God, they can see it. We can manifest ourselves and help them get out of debt and help the homeless, praise God, and help those that are bound by drugs and alcohol and those that's been, abused, recovery homes for them. Amen. It's the church. The world is not going to heal itself. And so it says all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, I want to read it and amplify all of this so that he can be clear. This is Foundation Day. For we're talking about growing into sonship. And the true test of maturity, we who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Quit being led by your flesh. Quit getting so offended and division and argument and I don't like this and I don't see why that and I don't agree with them. Well, that's all in the flesh. And babies are still carnally minded Christians led by their human impulses, offended at this. And we've seen divisions in the church instead of being led by the Spirit of God. Keep going. For the Spirit, which you have now received, talking about us that are born again, you did receive the spirit of slavery to put you once again into bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing what? Sonship. But that's a growth. When we're born again, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Anyone know the scripture? Grow thereby. Babies are not born weighing 52 pounds and already got developed. They got to grow. And so this sonship, he said, we've just seen the spirit that produced son. The world is waiting on these sons of God to come forth and bring healing and deliverance and the answers to society. He said, the spirit that produces sonship in the bliss of which we cry. Now we got a father, Abba, Daddy, Father. The spirit himself thus testified together with our own reborn spirit, assuring us we are the children of God. Yeah, we're children, but we're going to have to grow into men and women of God. Watch this. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs. We're going to find out that even though we heirs of God, we possess everything. Your life may be good. God is not going to turn power, anointing, and like I said, the inheritance over to immature children. He said, even though we're heirs and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing with his inheritance in him, only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. Then he talks about what that glory and of what that I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, you whatever you want, is not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, in us, for us, and conferred on all around us. What glory? Growing into sonship, putting your flesh under. For even the whole creation, men, women, boys again. See, sometimes we can be so blessed that we become, we build what do a caterpillar live in? A cocoon of the blessings of God that sometimes we forget. Man, I've been saved 45 years. God has blessed me. Out of that, he'll bless. But my mind won't, every time I walk in McDonald's, I see young men still on the sides of the street, seeing young women still on the corner. Every time I see drug addicts that's bound and people that's bound by alcohol, AAA, and folks that's hurting in this pandemic, folks that don't know how they're going to make it. You know, there are folks suffering. He said, everyone around us, we cannot become insensitive to that. Just because we're blessed. We got a nice car, nice home. Thank God for all of that. But Jesus, it wasn't just about those are friends' benefit. He said all of creation, all of nature. And to be honest with you, not only was mankind affected, even the earth was affected. He said all the animals, all the trees, everything is under curse. When Jesus come back, he's going to make all things new. It not only affects sin, not only did it affect Adam, he said the ground is cursed now. You're going to have to till it and turn it in order for it to grow. Everything is under the curse. Thank God Christ has redeemed us from the curse, but we cannot become insensitive to the world around us. He said, all of nature waits expectantly for God's sons. That's me and you. They're waiting on you. You can go to the hospital and lay hands on them. See, there are people waiting on you. That's why we visit a prison. There are people bound. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was hungry. You didn't feed. There are folks waiting in this pandemic. They're waiting. Long for, earnestly. Is there anyone that can help? Anyone can bring? They're in the project. They're in the low-income neighborhoods. Hallelujah. They're everywhere. It's the rich man who's got money, but he don't know God. He's crying out. They long earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Where are they at? Where's the church at now in this pandemic? I'm on the streets. I'm homeless. I can't put food on me. I just lost my job. Where's the church? Where's the sons of God? They're waiting for the sons of God to be made known, revealing disclosure of their sonship, growing up and maturing. And if the enemy can't stop us, then he wants us to be fighting one another, division over one another. We just came out a year of total turmoil and this and that. And now we got to pray that the land be healed. And one of the things is that Jesus prayed in St. John 17, Father, that all might be one. God never intended for the church to be divided or allow anyone or anything to divide us. And that's a lack of maturity when you still arguing over stuff and fuss while folks are dying and going to hell. Yeah, serious subject. He's waiting. The head of the church, Jesus, is waiting on the body to grow up. A mature head is not going to sit on an immature body. You're not going to see all the power and all the anointing until the body. He's waiting on the body. The Bible says he sat down expecting the enemy to be made our footstool. The feet is on the body. We need to put down sickness, disease, everything that the enemy has done to mankind. He's waiting on the church to grow up. Jesus is. For us to grow into the measure, the stature of the fullness of God. As long as there's envy and strife and jealousy and division and hatred in the church. I ain't talking about the world. The world don't have the answer. We're talking about the sons of God, not the sons of the devil. The sons and daughters of God. And so the enemy has distracted the church. Couldn't stop them again and say, but let's keep them fighting and fussing and immature. And so Jesus is the head, But we're the body. And so the head, Jesus, is waiting on the church, his other sons, with the firstborn among many sons and daughters. You don't become a son of God when you die, a daughter of God when you die and go to heaven. Now are we sons of God. We just read it. We are children. We're growing our sonship. And that's what they're waiting on. And so the head, the body must look just like the head. The head is mature. You've never seen anyone say, you know, I was uptown yesterday and I seen Pastor D's head. See, some of you laughing. Have you heard anyone say that? Have you? No. If they saw my head, they say I seen Pastor Diggs. The head is part of my body. And so the body has got to begin to look just like Jesus, mature, in love, healing the sick, raising the dead. That's what they're waiting on. That's serious business. Yeah, you got your car, you got your house, you got your job, you got your degree, you're living your dream, but the world is still waiting. And we cannot become where we don't show empathy toward the people just because we're blessed. I still visit my high school football team. I still go back to my high school and talk to those young men who don't have a father. I still do that under pastor. I still, every time I walk into McDonald's and I see young men, you know, with their pants down and, you know, and ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, they got their, all of their tattoos and piercings. I still minister. They're waiting. They're just, they're waiting on someone to show love. And yet the church is at an awkward, distracted place. We're arguing over isms and schisms while the people, the drug addict, the homeless, the man bound by drugs. See, I used to be there. And inside I was crying out. That's why I was doing drugs. I was, can anybody help me? Yeah, it took a son and daughters of God. So the head sat down, so he's waiting on the body, his sons and daughters to mature, all of creation. And we're going to be judged by it, the church. What did you do with this power, this anointing? Put up a first statement, then all of hurting humanity around us are waiting for the manifestations, the growth, the maturity of the sons and daughters of God. All of them. The alcoholic, the drunkard. Now, you can't do it all by yourself, but as a body, we can do our part. We can help people in this pandemic. We can help those that's homeless. We can help those that need food. We can help those that are unemployed. We can help. You can do your financial job to do it all. But the creation is waiting. And I think what has happened, we've got so engrossed with the blessing and the suits and the car and all of that in my home. And I'm, you know, it's like, you know, I'm 5,000 square feet. Oh, that is great. I'm not, God wants you to have it, but he don't want you to forget about humanity. Jesus never forgot about humanity. The day that he was born to the day he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he grew up and he stood up, praise God, to preach the gospel. And from that day forward, he immediately began to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, open blind eyes, heal leprosy, praise God, feed the hungry. He came with a mission, and now he's gone. The head sat down and he's turning it over to the church, and we got the same call. And all the creation is waiting. Where are the sons of God? Where's the one with the burden removing, yoke destroying power? Who can get me free from these drugs? Who can get me off of this addiction to alcohol? Who can break this curse off of my life? Who can, hallelujah, help feed my family? Who can bring peace to my spirit? Well, the world can't do that. It's the sons and daughters of God. That's why I'm going to preach this thing, growing into sonship. You say, well, how do you know the world is affected? Little John, 1 John 5:19 says, we know positively that we're born of God. We just read that the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit, we're the children of God. But notice this, but the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. There are people bound by Satan and hatred and drugs and Alcohol, sin affected the whole world. There are people committing suicide, young people looking for a way out. How you get out of this mess? There are people that's homeless. There are people that's lost their job, that's come to play and just give it up because there's suicide. There are people that have lost loved ones to coronavirus and still hurting, and they're waiting on comfort. We forget about there's nearly 500,000 people, families that's been affected. Some of you, it might have been in your family, someone that you know. And they're waiting for comfort, for healing, for deliverance. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. Preach the gospel to the poor. Watch this. Bind up the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captive. Open the prison door. Notice the anointing is to help folks. And even though God has blessed me and brought this church out of debt and bought some of you members out of debt and some of you living the dream, praise God, we cannot become insensitive to the world around us. They're waiting on you. And what has happened in the church? We got division, distraction, hatred. We've allowed another spirit to come in. Jesus prayed that we all might be one, Father, as thou art me, St. John 17, I and them, that they may be one in us. We got to learn that we can disagree without being disagreeable and get the work of Jesus done. Well, I don't want to do all that. Well, it don't matter. You're going to be judged by it because all of creation is waiting. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so even though there are people born again, love God, we got churches all over the United States and the world. The church, and I'm not going to talk about the world. We know the world is messed up. We've seen the media and everything is covered. I'm talking about the church. We should not have been affected and allow what the world is doing to divide us. But we did. We allow our own ideology and all of this, and we joined groups, and this group was put together in the church. And if you believe this, then you're wrong, and you're going to hell. And if y'all believe that, y'all wrong. All of this, the devil don't care about all of that. He don't want no one to get the brokenhearted healed, the bound man free. He don't care about the church, all that stuff we're arguing about. Long as I can control men's lives and kill, steal, and to destroy, I'll keep them distracted. We spent a whole year all that distracted, fussing, arguing. People got mad. I'm leaving this church because they believe they're preaching this. I'm leaving this church because they think this. I'm leaving. I seen it. You seen it. I know you see you trying to look at me. I'm trying to show you it was a setup. Satan don't care. He wants us arguing about stuff that none of that stuff is going to matter in the kingdom. We got to begin to understand what is kingdom important and what ain't even important. Whether you choose red or blue, when you stand there with the kingdom, God don't care. Whether you got a chose a Chevy or a Ford, God don't care. But we are going to be judged. What did you do with those that was bound, brokenhearted, unsaved? Those that was bound by drugs. What did you do with this anointing? Those things that carry eternal and kingdom importance. This other stuff, there won't even be no record of it in heaven. Why you believe this and why we were right and y'all were wrong. Why people die and go to hell. God had me touch on some things from the word, but I'm focused as an arrow. I know what my call is. I can hear the wino, the drunkard. I can hear the guy just like me that was bound by drugs, the guy on crack cocaine, the guy that's shooting the needle in his arm saying, can somebody help? They don't want to do it. Where are the sons of God? Where are the ones with this burden removing, yoke destroying power? I'm preaching you at home. When are they going to grow up into sonship? 1 Corinthians. What's keeping them from growing? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Enemy said, oh, okay, they got saved, so let's get them distracted. Let's get them to fussing. Let's create division. Because the house divided against itself can't stand. I don't care nothing about what they believe and who they want to support. All I want to do is keep people bound and brokenhearted, brother. All I want to do is control the alcohol and drugs, keep it coming to this nation. You got 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Look at verse 1 through 4. Paul said, brethren, notice he didn't say, I didn't want to. He said, I couldn't. There was limitations. I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal. Carnal means to be controlled by the flesh. And that's what little children do. You take my shovel out of the sandbox. That's mine. I want my way. Fleshy impulse, offended, easily mad. He says, man, he said, I wanted to bring you meat, but he said, I just speak you to as calm, even as babes in Christ. You're born again, but you can't holly tail because you're immature. And I fed you with milk and not with meat. You still on Gerber. Been in the church 19 years and can't chew a steak yet. Still sucking on applesauce. How you going to develop on applesauce? How you going to get strength off of Gerber? Mashed food. And then even when someone gets your milk hot, you get, I'll pass, I ain't like what he preaching, spit out the bottle. And I saw that as I taught last year. When I was sharing meat of the word, a lot of people got upset with me, couldn't handle it. And all that was doing was revealing your lack of immaturity. Because sons of God can take rebuke. Some sons of God can take correction. What son is there who have not a father that love him, that does not correct him or train him? The pastor right now, he just need to get off. No, I was on what God told me to be on. You just needed to grow up. Folks are waiting on us. And these are enemies to spiritual growth. He said, I fed you with meat, with milk and not with meat. Hereunto you're not able to bear it. No, you need all you're not able. Why? He told them why. You're carnal. You're flesh. You're not led by your spirit. You still get mad when someone says something you don't like. You still get offended. You still got division. Are you not carnal? Watch this. Where there's among you envying, strife, divisions. Divisions in the church. Well, I ain't for so and so. And if you're going to be for them, so I'm going to find me another church. That's all the enemy wants. Just keep people bound, brokenhearted while you mad. Why you offended? Strife. Why you for that and not for this? Strife in the church. These were people born again, but they were so carnal you couldn't hardly tell it. Babes. We're talking about growing into sonship maturity. He said, no. Look, you can judge a tree by its fruits. Look at all the destruction, all the envy, stuff that we've seen in the body of Christ. That's carnality. That's just people in the flesh. Strife. Mad at one another. They going to hell. Because they don't see it my way. Divisions. He saw call that carnality. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Indian, are you not carnal and walk as mere men? For one said, see, division. I'm a Paul. What part are you in? Well, I'm of Apollos. I'm with him. Well, who are you for? I'm for Cephas. You can go on and on. There were people that was choosing different that we are one in the body of Christ. He said, are you not cardinal? You done got into parties. You done forgot about the call of Christ on the church. You into your favorite preacher, your favorite prophet. Well, this one said that, and he got the word, and so-and-so said this, and I'm going to watch this, and I'm going to follow that because I like what he prophesied. I like what... Oh, really? I just taught a message about judging prophets. It better line up with the word. All the scriptures, not cherry picking. I'm tired of preachers cherry picking the one and not going through the whole Old and New Testament and doing what the Bible says to weigh the scriptures and rightly divide it. Because a false abomination. A false balance really is abomination to the Lord. And see, babes don't know this. I'm not saying I know everything, but I have been around for about 46 years. And I started in the church. I can tell you things about the church. You know, I was back when the word movement started. I was part of the word movement in this area. And I watched the church go. And I remember when we was one and how we waited in the big convention and how all of our leaders were together speaking the same thing. And we had the same parties that we had now. But there was no division. We didn't let that stuff separate us. And the meeting wouldn't even start, and there was thousands of people waiting on the big convention centers to open up, singing hallelujah, black, white, Hispanic, all colors. And then we allowed stuff to come in. So I preach from a broader base than what you've seen, most of you. Well, why, Pastor? Because I'm kind of like, who are that, farmers? I know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. I done seen a thing or two. And as a shepherd, my job is to protect you. And sometimes you got to feed people a little bit of meat and not just what they like, what they want to hear. In order to grow up, you might have to choke on some stuff I say. But don't get mad. Don't get offended. That's carnal. Say, you know what? Let me pray about it. Maybe some scriptures I ain't looked at the pastor share instead of when I pastored. No, you're cardinal. Why don't you say, I'm a Paul, I'm a Paul. I'm of word of faith. I'm of this. I'm from this camp. I'm from that camp. Well, I'm from Jesus' camp. And he says, for one said, I'm Paul, and one of the Paul, you're not cardinal. So it's not so much the devil as it is the immaturity of the church. Say, no, I don't, Paul. He feeds off our immaturity. Put this up in Amplified. How is it, brother, that I couldn't talk to you as spiritual men, not children, men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh in whom cardinal nature predominates? Your flesh still. You ain't led by your spirit. You led by your flesh. You get offended. You get a mad time. Someone say something you don't like. You can't even, you don't even know how to put your flesh on. As mere infants in this new life in Christ, you say, but you're unable to talk. Goo goo gaga. I fed you with milk and not solid foods, for you weren't able, you weren't strong enough. You thought you knew everything because you learned two or three faith scriptures, because you got under your favorite prophet, and because you got your favorite preacher in his own tape. You tried to learn from one preacher. And there's stuff God wanted to take us further, but no, you couldn't hear or talk outside of your limited knowledge about Christ. Well, you were not strong enough. You weren't ready for it. But even yet, you are not strong enough to be ready for it. There are still people bound on that low flesh level all through the church. You know right now, there are folks that ain't going to talk. You bring up certain things, they don't want to hear. Right now, as we speak, I ain't talking about the word I'm talking about. Born again, conservative Christians all across this nation. That's who he's talking about. He said, well, you are still unspiritual. Yeah, you got a big church. Yeah, you got this. Yeah, you own television. Yeah, you own all these stations. But you have the nature of the flesh. You're under the control of ordinary impulse. For as long as there are envies, jealousies, wranglings, factions, which mean divisions, are you not unspiritual? Watch this. Of the flesh, and I'm going to show you why the world haven't knocked our doors down. Having yourselves, behaving yourself at the human standard like mere unchanged men, hold that there. In other words, sinners. Yo, man, I thought sinners do that stuff. I thought sinners were violent. I thought sinners destroyed. I thought sinners argued and did. This is the church. They got a Jesus sign. And he said, it's for the world. Those that's crying out for help, they're looking back, the wild old, the drunk is saying, why won't that? They act like they ain't even born again. Keep going. For one say, I belong to this party, another party, and I belong to policy. And I, see, we've put our ideologies, ideological differences above the blood covenant as a family. That ain't strong anymore. Don't tell me, because I started with this thing, and I know how it used to be and how it is now. I've seen it, you've seen it. While the world is crying out for deliverance, we're fighting one another. That'll come back. For one of you say, I belong to Paul, I belong to another, and you're proving yourselves ordinary, unchanged, you're acting just like, that's what he called carnality, like unchanged men. In other words, your flesh is still controlling you. You're not being led by the Spirit. A lot of this stuff, people come out, the Spirit told me, the Spirit ain't. The Spirit is ordinary impulse. Because it's led to look at the results of that. It led to hatred, murder, destruction of property, lives have been hurt, even deaths. Quit blaming stuff and talking about God told me. Because the word of God is easily to be entreated. It produced fruits of righteousness. But the wisdom that is from above, that's what it, but the wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, and it causes strife, it causes hatred, it brings division. And the truth of anything is the results that it produces. Hatred, division, murder, and you're going to throw God's name in it and try to justify it? No, that's carnality. Mere unchanged men. You can't even tell half the folk. Don't say, and that was the Christians out there? Yeah, that's what they said. Evangelical church. Wow. Well, I know ain't no hope for me. Man, I want to get all these drugs and alcohol, but shoot, how they going to help me? See, the whole creation is waiting. The good news is people are maturing because I'm teaching now. They're getting their focus back. There are folks that's going to get mad at me. Stay mad. There are folks that ain't going to never. When Jesus come to, but all the folks saying, you know, pastor's on to something. You know, I done put this more important than the deliverance of mankind. I've been putting that more important. My God, let me get my focus back. What this thing is all about, healing the sick. Those that are bound, brokenhearted. All of creation is waiting. There's a pandemic, man. Nearly 500,000 people have died and more are dying. This is no time for the church to be distracted. And if you just go right back over to, let me put up this statement. God will not transfer his power then, because we're talking about an inheritance. Yeah, you inherit. And you think because you got a new car, new this, new that, nice little clothes, this, that. Let me tell you, God got so much more. God want to bless you with every favor and every blessing. But he ain't going to turn his power and his full inheritance over to immature children. God will not transfer his power and full inheritance to immature children. They're waiting on the sonship, us to grow up in our sonship, maturity, mature offspring, people that can take correction, people, a church that can disagree without being disagreeable. And the world still sees us as one. That's when the glory is going to come. That's the glory is in the oneness. On the day of Pentecost, when they was all in one place in one accord, power hit. And the reason we ain't seen miracles, signs, and wonders, because we've become distracted with our own hatred, divisions, and ideology. We've put in the blood, the covenant blood relationship we should have with one another. When the church was born on the day of Pentecost, there was one, and they had one thing in their mind. Not what the television was saying, not this part of that. They was waiting because Jesus said, go tarry until the Holy Ghost come. They probably had all types of differences about this and that, but their mind was focused on the Holy Ghost. And when they was all in one place, in one accord, praise God, the Bible says the Holy Ghost hit that place and they was filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says it came upon them like cloven tongues of fire. And they hit the streets and began to bring deliverance to the man at the beautiful gate. People got in Peter's shadow. Paul raised the man for all of these miracles. Why would not see it? Folks was waiting on that, and they're still waiting. But God says, you know what? I can't trust and transfer full inheritance power over to immature Christians. Go back and look at Romans again, our foundation. And I was just going to show you a couple of scriptures. Now, what was the biggest problem with the church at Corinth? Carnal, fleshy. They weren't led by the Spirit. Fussing, mad at it, like little kids. And Paul said, I couldn't even feed you food, meat. Get your milk hot, you start crying. Say one thing you don't like. I'm leaving that church and find me a church that agree with my idea and my platform, as you call it. Okay, go ahead. I ain't gonna stop you. But you're cardinal. Oh, you can get mad at me. I didn't say it. Go read your Bible. Get the CD. Get the DVD. You're cardinal. That's human impulse. You done forgot about the big picture of what the church is called to do. They're waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. And here, if you look back at Romans 8, I'm just going to read these verses. Verse 14, we started with it. Says, for many are led by the what? Their flesh. No, the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So these carnal-minded Christians, we don't care what they, you know. And I'm doing this from the Amplified, you know. We don't care. That, and that's where, you know, growth is when you can put your flesh down even when you disagree and not get mad and not get upset and say, you know, the Word did say that. And even if I don't see it now, I'm going to pray about it instead of just go shouting stuff, my disagreement. Maybe there's something I don't know. Holy Spirit, help me. And then if you go to verse, 16, the Spirit itself does testify with our own spirit, assuring that we are children of God. It ain't saying you ain't saved. You're just still carnal-minded. You're still a babe. And if we are his children, then heirs and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing the inheritance with him, only we must share in his suffering if we're to share in his glory. And look at verse 19. For even the whole, all of creation, all of nature, everybody around us is waiting for you to grow up. They long for the sons of God to be made known. They're waiting, revealing the disclosure of their sonship. When they're going to grow? Why are they fussing and arguing over this stuff when we are here in this pandemic, when folks are dying, when I'm bound by drugs, I'm on the street corner, I'm looking for someone to bring the you know, deliverance power. I'm looking for someone to get my son free from demonic oppression. I'm looking for someone that can break this curse off our life. And we are. And so all of that shows that God is not going to put his power over. Now, let me slow down. Look at Galatians. Let me just slow down. Strife, division was among them. It was controlled by human impulse. And Paul said, you know what? Not only y'all can't bring deliverance to yourself, much less the world. Because y'all still choosing, I'm a this and I'm a that. Who are you affiliated with? What's your platform? Man, what do it matter about my platform? Let's go over here and get this guy on drugs healed. Deliver. Let's go and get this person sick in hospital healed. Let's go visit this person in prison. The church has lost its call and its focus. And they're waiting. And guess what? Jesus ain't going to come back until we start looking like we're glorious. Till the church mature. The head is not going to sit on an immature body. They're still fussing over isms and systems and differences. And the devil knows it. It's the Christians that's been sidetracked. So I can keep him abound, brokenhearted, drug addicts on drugs, prostituting, winos on wine, folks on the street, people hurting in the pandemic. I can hinder everything God wants to do if I can just keep the church immature. Magnify their differences. Not just what they believe. Let's get into skin color. And start equating that. They look different. They're from another country. Don't tell me this ain't going on. They're Muslim. They're Hispanic. We've had never had a Hispanic in this position. I think this race is superior to that race. What's that? Divisions. And this just didn't start yesterday. It's been going on for 400 years. And the church is still falling for it. What you think all the protests and all the division were all last year in the streets? Because certain people didn't look like certain people. And so if you don't look like this, your life ain't worth nothing. But this, folks over here, are privileged and power. See, we can't handle the truth. I'm trying to point out what a church been, more so than doing the works of Jesus. And the world don't care about all of that. So we got to get our focus back, church. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, whatever your denomination is, it's got to be Christ-centered. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, I'll show it to you, that he might loose and dissolve the works of the devil. In other words, that's why Jesus came on the scene. Well, the head went back, and now we're arguing over stupid stuff. While folks are dying, going to hell, hurting in a pandemic. Yeah, we're mature. Just call. Look, I learned something. Maturity don't come with a big church. Care if you're on the worldwide television. That don't mean you're mature. It don't come because of nice car, nice clothes. Well, they're mature. They're flying in a jet. So what? There are too many fools flying in jets. Maturity comes with what I'm teaching you. When you can put down pride and quit being led by your flesh and be led by the Spirit of God. Yeah, y'all can clap if you, y'all can clap at home if y'all want. It's too many old fools. Maturity don't come with birthdays. Well, I'll be 78 and you still can't speak. You still can't go to your father's grave and put flowers there because what? I ain't going there. I might be sitting there. I'll go see my maker before I ever put a flower. That's immature. That's your flesh and not your spirit. And I'm talking about church, folks. Oh, but Pastor is going to help you if you can handle me. I'm going to be just back and forth. We're going to grow up. We're going to do the works of Jesus. The church is going to mature. That's all he's waiting on. All the creation is waiting. Galatians 3. You say, but I'm blessed. This is paid for and that's paid. Man, you just, so you done settle in there. You think God don't have more? And then some of us are not where we need to be spiritually. This ain't just about a cost, about doing the works of Jesus. How many people you got saved last year? How many people did you get healed? I ain't talking about the car. I ain't talking about how much you made. I'm not talking about your income. How many lives did you affect? See, the inheritance is more than just stuff. Y'all got Galatians chapter 4. Look at, now, chapter 3, verse 29, so you can read into chapter 4. And if you be Christ, how many of you belong to Christ? We all are. Wow, I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm blessed. Get your inheritance. Great. Let's read all of it. If you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs. According to them, I'm an heir of the, we just read that, children heir. But chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, is still talking about the heirs. But I say, though an heir, as long as he's a child, long as he's immature, long as there's strife in the division among him, different nothing than the servant. Though he be Lord of all, though you are one with God and everything God has belonged to me and under the seed of Abraham, but you're going to be under tutors. That's my job right now, as the tutors, governors. In other words, you're going to need some teaching until the appointed time of the Father. God ain't going to release everything to a child. You're not going to put an AK-47 in the hands of a seven-year-old that's loaded. That's too much power. Dale ain't do that when you go up basic training. Time you get that with your big old gut out of shape, ain't never been in hair all crazy. They don't go, huh, boy, take this M16 and go fight. No, you need some training. We ain't going to give you no power till you show some discipline in training. Even though you are in the United States Army, we're not going to give you weapons because you're immature. But amplified. Now, what I mean is this: as long as an inheritor, I'm a child of Almighty God. Yeah, but you're still underage. You're still acting like a babe. It's envy, strife, and the bitch. That's not different. You ain't nothing different than a slave. Though you master the home, the state, everything, the cause, the home, you in the will. But guess what? You're going to have to be under guardians and administrators and trustees until the day fixed by the Father. Hold that there. That's what this whole series is going to be about, teaching. God ain't going to release everything. God got more than that nice house you in. He got more than your car's pay. He's got more. But it ain't just about that. It's about, are you ready to use the power of God to do good? If you keep putting it about a house and putting it about that, then God says, you know what? You're going to be limited. I ain't heard no teaching about souls. I ain't heard no one give an altar call. So I'm not going to release power because you don't need it. Because and nothing is wrong with the blessing. He said, it's fixed for you. I want you to have it. But I'm looking for other signs of maturity. When you come to this subject over here and this platform stuff, you arguing, you mad, you done left churches over this because this one bleed that and that one bleed that way and this party was dead and I'm left and you right. That's the stuff why I can't release the anointing. I want you to do the works of Jesus. You are a son of God. And the same thing, the same works Jesus did, you should be doing also. The church should be a lighthouse in this pandemic of healing and deliverance, a lighthouse to those on drugs and alcohol, a lighthouse to those that's bound, a lighthouse to those that's broken and bruised, but we're still under tutors and guardians, and someone's going to have to teach. And I said, Lord, I'll do the teaching. I will mature your body. Some of them going to get it. Some of them going to still stay bad and immature. But I want to be, I don't know about you, those that have the power of God, those that God can trust with his anointing. There come a day you have to come under tutorship. But he said, you know what? As long as you're a child, strife, envy, you ain't ready. You remember the prodigal son? Put my statement up. Put my statement up. Until we mature in growth, our full inheritance is delayed. And we are under tutorship. Pastor, God began to deal with me, so I want you to teach this message, maturing in growing in the sonship, because even though we got the cars, the home, and the blessing, and good jobs, and making six figures, he said, folks dying, going to hell in this pandemic. And my church is arguing and fussing over this and that, still arguing over issues that mean nothing. When they come up to me, while the wino, the drug addict, the prostitute, the sinner is crying out for help, people in the pandemic, on the streets, homeless, no food, had a job but lost it, no health care, been diagnosed with COVID-19 with no health care, and we're sitting back and we think because we got all this stuff, God says you're still kids. They're waiting on you to grow up and look just like me. And until they do, I'm not going to release the fullness of the heritage. What happens when an immature child is given the inheritance? Luke 15. And I want to share with y'all, we call this the prodigal son. Both of them are messed up. I'll prove it to you. Luke 15 and then verse 11 says, and they said a certain son, he had two sons. Notice what they want. That's like some of you, when I got this yet, when I got that, you're too immature. And the younger of them said to his father, at least he was the younger one, the guy that was older was the biggest fool, more than a fool of him. I'll prove it to you. Father, give me my portion of goods. See, he said, don't everything God has belong to you. He said, it ain't the fixed time yet. I'm going to give you well beyond your dreams, but you're too immature. You're still fussing and arguing. What you need more power for when you won't go to the hospital and lay hands on the sick? You won't visit a prison. Creation is crying. What you want more money for? He said, give me my portion of good that befallen me. Now watch this. He divided him or them. The same guy who got mad later on, because he threw a party for a son that was once lost and now found. The same day. See, remember, it was fixed of the Father. God got all, I have not seen, you have not, the things God got it for. But he said, some of you ain't ready for it. You ain't ready for a husband. You ain't ready for a wife. You ain't ready for five cars. You're not ready to go into the million flow yet. Why? You're not even faithful over the 1,000 or even over 100. You won't even tithe. But you want all of this stuff. And he divided their living unto them. Watch this. What happened? And not many days after, it didn't take long. Stuff don't make you mature. The younger the son got it all together, took his journey into a far country, and wasted it on riotous living. A bunch of stuff, but still a child. But the good news is, see, that's what's happening when you get too much stuff and you're for the church. They think because we're prosperous. There are a lot of people, even in our government, who that's what it's all about. I got this and I got that. I got plans. I got this. But you're still immature. Why? There's envy, strife, and division. I'm talking to Christians now. Don't get mad at me. Weigh the scriptures, everything I'm teaching. God says, away, though you be Lord of all and master of the whole estate, I ain't going to turn everything over to you. Why? You think it's all about stuff. And there are people crying out for deliverance. Why didn't you use that money to invest in the gospel? Why didn't you use that money to go down there and invest in the homes and for those that's bound and broke heart? You know, you want to talk about abortion? Then build some houses for these ladies so they can have their kids. Because if you want someone to bring a kid in the world, then make provisions. Use all that wealth, not just for the stock market, but build some safe homes and say, look, if you'll have this child until this child is 5, they'll have a chance because everything will be paid for. This child will automatically get free kindergarten and child care. What you doing with your money? What is maturity all about? When you get too much money, put it back up. He said he put it on waste, riotous living. So a bunch of money is not a sign of maturity either. That's what a lot of Christians thought. Man, we went out to the prosperity seminar. Yeah, y'all still immature because you're still arguing over stuff. Still fighting over stuff. I don't care about your jet. I don't care about how many stations you on. I'm going to judge it by the fruit. And when you get something before time and the maturity level haven't come, you're not going to hurt people. But the good news is that guy came to himself. And hopefully, while I'm teaching some of you, you know what, man, the last time I cared about visit the sick, last time I laid hands on someone, last time I visited someone I hurt, yeah, I do need to this year get my focus back. Because all the creations is waiting, not for my car, not on my jet, they're waiting for the sons of God to manifest themselves. And I got the answer. I got the healing anointing. I got words of encouragement. Huh? And he came to himself. But he get back home, and the guy, what's this? He said, your father has received your son home safely, and he's thrown him a party. He's just as immature as the other guy. Because the Bible says he got mad and went to dad and accused him. I never once laid with a prostitute, got drunk, or went to a party. And notice he didn't say my brother, but your son has come back home and you gave him a part. And he said, son, all I have was yours. He was so immature, he didn't even understand it was his father. So neither one of them was ready for it. And I'm trying to show you that God is waiting on his children to grow up. For he's going to release. You ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, I know you got a nice house. You ain't seen nothing yet. God says, I want you to be able to cancel debt. If God put enough money in my hand, make me be, I'll pay all churches. I'll start paying all costs. I know it ain't about me. My God, I'm getting out of here. But if I can help mankind, if I can build safe houses for women that's been abused, if I can bring recovery houses for drug addicts like me, if I can build, do, oh, my God, I can use wealth. I'm a tour God, here I am, put wealth in my hands. Okay. So until we mature and grow, okay, we went there. All right, 1 John, little John 3:8, almost done. Y'all getting anything at home? I'm going to build this a while. Now, I'm going to keep it on Sundays because that's when most of you stream. And some of you, I don't get a chance to talk to you, but I'll say something that work this in on Tuesday nights too. But this is going to be my subject until, because God says I can't come back until the body mature. Till we get all this vision, hatred, all these cardinal babies that's fussing and arguing while the world dying and crying out for deliverance. Look at Little John 3:8. I want to show you something before we get very close. Little John, 1 John 3:8. I want to show you God is going to hold you responsible. Same calling. As a son and daughter of God, because the third chapter says, now we sons of God. Verse 1, that's little John. You don't have to turn there. You don't become a son of God or daughter of God when you die and go to heaven. It's just we're immature. Some of us have been immature. Still fussing and arguing. There's divisions and strife and factions among us. And in 1 John 3:8, it says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For thus, the purpose of God, watch this, for this, the purpose of God was manifest, why? That he might do what? Manifest, brought into view. The same reason God wants us to manifest, his way. Why? Destroy the works of the devil. Not just get a new car, not just get a new, destroy the works of the devil. Keep going. And whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. And I'll straighten this out with the Amplified. Don't worry about it. I know that's bothering some. Because, well, I'm born of God. I've been sinning. Don't worry about it. We'll find out what it's talking about. For his seed remains in him, the word. And he cannot sin. He's somebody's reborn spirit. He might have a flesh problem and a renewing mind problem, but we're born again of incorruptible seed. Your spirit don't sin once it's born again. Now, your flesh do and your old carnal mind do, and that was the problem with the church maturing. They weren't led by their spirit. They were led by their flesh, and they were carnally minded. Now, put it up in Amplified. He who commits sin, that who practices sin. I ain't practicing sin. We all have fallen, come short. But if you're born again, you ain't got the nature of the devil no more. It bothers you when you do something wrong. You do something that's against God. He says, is of the devil. Take his character from the evil one. For the devil sinned, violated divine law from the very beginning. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest. Why do God want the sons to be manifest, visible? Why, people? Because what? All the creation is crying out. They're looking for help. They're looking for the liver, the wine, or the drunkard. And this is the purpose. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might drive a Mercedes and get a jet and control the wealth of the world. No, and ain't nothing wrong with that. That's part of your inheritance. But this is what we've gotten away from. For this purpose was the Son of God made visible. Where are they at? He said, to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil has done. The head is not here anymore. We are the church. And the world, all the creation is saying, where are the deliverers? Where's the guy that can get me free? Where's the woman who can get me off these drugs and alcohol? Who can break the power of alcohol and addiction and drugs? He said, I'm looking for them. Keep going and you'll see more. No one that's born, begotten of God, deliberately, knowingly, I'm going to go out of here, and I'm going to get high, I'm going to do some drugs. I repent later. No, that's practicing sin. Nobody ain't like that. That ain't your nature. Knowingly and habitually practices sin, for God's nature abides in him. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sin because he's born of God. That's the nature of God. God's nature is holy. You say, well, why do I have a problem? Paul said, when I would do good, evil is with me. I find it in my flesh. It's in your flesh and your mind that is caught. But your nature, when you're born again, your nature is up to God. And that nature of God is part in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God. It's incorruptible. No corruption is coming out of your spirit. God is waiting us to grow up in our flesh and our mind. And for this purpose, so then we have, put this statement up, we have the same, as sons of God, we have the same call on us that Jesus had. Why did Jesus come on the scene? Why was he made visible? Why did he come on earth? Why was the word made flesh? To destroy the works of the devil. Those that's bound by drugs and alcohol, those that's been in this pandemic, those that need help, the unemployed, the sick, the brokenhearted, the weary, they're waiting on the Son. Same call. As sons of God, we have the same calling on us that Jesus had. Why was he manifest? The word became flesh and was manifest. What did the word do? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, feed the hungry. He began to break, dissolve, and loosen the works of the devil. Now the head went back, sat down on the right hand of the Father and said, I'm turning all the power and authority over to the body. You do the works. Same call. Scripture reference, St. John 17:16-18. Look what Jesus said. They are not of the world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. But the world need help. So sanctify, separate them by that truth. The word. That word is truth. Keep them in the world, but keep them separate from the world. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them. I'm sending you as sons of God in the world, the same reason I was manifest as a son of God in the world. Because all of creation is crying out. This is more than just about a car, a home, a nice clothes. This is more than just about flying on a jet, who can get the biggest shirt, or how many stations are you on. We think that's a judge of spirituality. Now, a judge of spirituality is when you can put down all your isms and sisms and all this stuff we've seen in the body of Christ that have divided and even destroyed some Christians because they had so confidence, a lot of them, and they've gone back because they said, y'all are acting just like mere unchanged men. Y'all acting worse than the sinners. And got a nerve to put a Jesus flag on acts of violence and division and hatred and racism, call it what it is, because I'm of this group and we are superior, we're going to take this whole thing and go. And listen, you say, well, wait a minute, that wasn't the church. Let me tell you something, the ones that did that supported the same person you support. So you got the same, listen, if you're supporting them like you told me, then you'll respond for all the acts too. If you vote for all the acts, don't try to separate yourself now from this. Because you get mad too. Some of you get mad right now. To show your lack of immaturity. Because you can't handle the truth. My wife and I was listening to a message yesterday. We were going to encourage somebody. And it was this preacher who was preaching about John the Baptist, a voice in the wilderness. And how that his voice was unpopular during that time, to the point it caused him his hair. That's what I felt like, a voice in the wilderness. You know I'm telling the truth. Everybody knew John was telling the truth because the people knew it was a problem. There's some of you know I'm telling, but it's like, oh my God. And you got to have enough courage. What was he crying? Two things John brought. Number one, repent. Change how you think, church. Get rid of the strife, the division, the arguing of your ideology because it's different from someone else. And then number two, there's coming one mighty night. There's coming an anointing. There's coming. When you repent, you'll see the glory restored. That's the glory he was talking about revealed. He said, there's coming. Man, this ain't about me. I indeed baptize you to water into repentance. I'm just a voice. I'm strange. I sound strange with this message right now. But there's coming one. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and power. There's an anointing. There's a revival that comes after repentance. When the church recognized we got off, we were wrong, we missed it, we need to mature, we need to put down the isms and sins. He said, when you grow up, not only am I going to turn your full inheritance on you, there's coming an anointing, the former and the latter rain. You're going to see signs and wonders and miracles, and we're going to see those that's crying out, that's been waiting for manifestations of the sons of God. It's going to be the book of Acts all over again. It's going to be the church emptying the hospital. It's going to be the church taking authority over coronavirus. It's going to be the church healing the cancerous person. It's going to be the church. Because now you've grown up, you can mature. But first, he didn't say the glory would come. He said, repent, change your attitude, your ways, and your thinking. And yet the church wanted to just, well, let's just all, now you, how can there be unity when there's no reconciliation and accountability? Now we want to just sweep it off. Well, you know, we were the body of Christ last year when you were mad. Now you want to just say, oh, it's okay. No, it can't be okay. We got to be accountable. We got to say, Lord, I see it. Forgive me. I'm talking about our national leaders. We missed it. I turned from my wicked ways. I turned from my carnality. I turn from my isms and scissors. I turn from my ideology. And I go back to the blood-stained banner, the covenant that saved me. And I'm here because all the creation is crying out for deliverance. You ain't here. They're waiting on me. I shouldn't be just a voice crying in the wilderness, the whole church. But it starts by repentance. And then afterwards, you'll see healing. Huh? Isn't that what David said in Psalm 51? Renew within me the right spirit, create in me a clean heart. I got off. He said, and once you do all of that, then I will teach transgressors the way. Then restore unto me the joy. Restoration comes when there's repentance. And yet the church got off, did a bunch of crazy stuff, went along with a bunch of violent stuff and got into hatred and this, and then we want to smooth it over. No, a new year don't change how you think. Repent don't mean feel sorry. It means change your thinking that make it agreeable with God's word. Something was wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. See, that's why that voice in the wilderness now. But that's okay. If I have to be a John the Baptist, I will, because I'm going to teach truth. Not a very popular voice right now. That's why I've been teaching on the voice of God. So let me close with a couple of statements. Then God's power will be released as we mature. And I'm just going to let Ephesians go. I'll pick that up next Sunday. God's power will mature, will be released as we mature as sons and unify ourselves. The Bible says he gave some apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, all for the perfecting of the saints, the work that you might mature, do the work of, that we might grow up, that we might come into the unity of the faith, not politics. Faith in Jesus Christ. That you henceforth, and I'm going to start on this next week, be no more children tossed to and fro, caring about every wind of doctrine. I believe this, I believe that. They wrong, and I'm going to lead this church. I don't like how pastor preach. If I'm preaching you the word, how can we have 10 different interpretations of the same Bible? I tell you, I'll cherry pick one and don't preach the whole truth, everything in the Old and New Testament about it. But you done ran to another wind of doctrine. And cunning craftiness whereby men lay in wait to deceive you. That we might grow up, watch that word, grow up into him to a perfect man. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I spake as a child. But when I became a man, when I matured, time to grow up. If I miss it, I miss it. I ain't got time to drop your pride. Into a perfect man in Christ. Acts 2, 1 and 2. Acts 1 and 8, I'm through. And don't y'all be talking about pastor preaching long. You ain't come to church, so you ain't got nothing to do. All you going to do is watch the Super Bowl. Go get you something to eat. Go get you some chicken wing. So if you can get some chicken wing, you can listen to me preach. And when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they are all with one accord in one place. See, we got to mature ourselves. See, there was the one. And what happened? And suddenly, there came from sound of heaven. This is the church. They got together. One place, one accord. There came. See, we'll see some sudden. We'll see miracles, signs, and wonders in all of creation that's moaning for our help. There came from heaven a mighty rush of wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. You say, well, where's the power at? Glad you brought it up, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. You don't need power. You don't give power to him into a child. Well, I'm going to put a machine gun, a weapon in your hand. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses through all the earth. Now, you remember what John said? Repent. And once you repent, then the Holy Ghost will come. It's one and one. But there is no glory without repentance. And the church has got to acknowledge where it was at. If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked way. There have been some wickedness, twisted ways in the body. Twisted stuff been going on in the name of the Lord. If you acknowledge that and then pray, I'll hear from heaven and I'll take this coronavirus. It's already turning in the name of Jesus, but I'll wipe it out. Not through this vaccine, but you will become the vaccine. You will take your hands and lay hands on the sick. You will bring recovery because they're waiting on you. Not just the vaccine. Thank God for the vaccine. But when you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. When you rebuke the devil in my name, they'll be healed. Somebody give God some praise. It's time for us to grow up, folks. I love you. I appreciate you. In behalf of me and my wife, we'll keep praying for you. I'm going to keep teaching on this. Don't miss this series.